Coming up on today's show,
I take pictures and all with people, and I'll come back to me. Someone will come and say, "Hey, my friend said you were so nice to them." And friend said, "You know, I laugh at it because I just think you're supposed to be that way. I don't think it's special."
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak, and this is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life. Ahead on episode 392, we will hear about an update on a five-year cancer journey, why giving up was never an option, and the landscape of college basketball in 2026. But first, my ministry moment for this episode. Athletes might attend sporting events and simply be there for the social aspect and get enjoyment from it purely from an entertainment standpoint. Too bad. That's a missed opportunity. If they don't see that maybe there is something they can take away that can help them improve their training, their in-game performance, their mindset, then perhaps they are too complacent. As Christians, this is a trap that we are susceptible to as well. If you find yourself going to church or maybe attending an event where there is a speaker who is evangelizing and you just nod and smile, dare I say, maybe hope that those around you are getting what is being said from the pulpit or the podium, that too can resemble a cautionary time to accept the challenge of, what is the opportunity here for me to get better? In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5 says in verses 12 to 14, quote, "Although you should be teachers by this time, you need to have someone teach you again the basic elements of the utterances of God. You need milk and not solid food. Everyone who lives on milk lacks experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties are trained by practice to discern good and evil." If you enjoyed this week's ministry moment, remember that every Sunday I post it as both a YouTube short and an Instagram reel. Feel free to share that way with someone who could use a little encouragement. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest had a successful coaching career that included leading the NBA's Detroit Pistons as head coach before joining ESPN in 1979. During his broadcasting career, he has called more than 1,000 games and even covered events such as the NBA Finals and the 1992 Summer Olympics for ABC Radio. In 2008, he was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. He has authored more than a dozen books and is a champion for fighting pediatric cancer. He has been fighting his own personal cancer battle since a diagnosis 5 years ago. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dick Vitale.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you. And Dick, first things first, what is the latest update with your ongoing medical battles? What is the prognosis?
Well, you know, I'm doing immunotherapy treatments now to battle the cancer. They found cancer on my lungs and liver, and I'm hoping it wipes it out, and cause it wipes me out too after you get the treatments in terms of a little fatigue and knocks you out. But, you know, along the way, I always try to think positive. I always have to remind the people out there, if you're battling something like cancer or whatever it may be, I think there's two things you must do. You must think positive and have faith. And if you have faith and you think positive, you'll get through it mentally. And I know in my life, I've utilized that philosophy. I learned it from my parents, my mom and dad. They were uneducated. My parents were uneducated, but they had a doctorate of love. And they utilized that love on our family, and it rubbed off on me big time.
As you have gone through this cancer journey, I believe it started 5 years ago, where has your faith been as it relates to certainly your prayer life? But I'm wondering maybe about things like attending a healing mass, or maybe there's even, Bruce, there were points where things were so bad that I was bedridden and I couldn't even get out of the house to go to Sunday mass.
Well, you know, you get down sometimes. And with me, I lost my eye as a youngster. And when I did, my mother was very religious. She'd go to church every day, not Sunday. Every day she had a stroke, and our girlfriends and her in our area would walk a mile and a half, 2 miles to church to go to church every day. I'd say, "Mom, look, you had a stroke. You're dragging your leg. No, I got to go to church." And so it really rubbed off. But she gave me as a kid, and I'm going to show you something. This has been in my pocket for years and years. St. Jude. St. Jude, the Catholic religion, is certainly the prayer I take when things are tough. You go to St. Jude, a lot of good things can happen. St. Jude and St. Anthony are special to me. Very special. St. Anthony is the miracle worker.
Were those two saints, were you made aware of them by your mother, or is that something that you found on your own, those two?
Well, you know, as far as the think positive and have faith, I basically, you know, learned that on myself. But I think some of it's rubbed off from my mom and my dad as well. They were such great parents. And like I said, they didn't have much of an education, but they had the most of all a doctorate in love. And to me, there's no greater element than parents giving love to their children. Love and showing the right way and what's important in life. There's nothing better to me than being with family. I'm very blessed, like where I live currently. My two daughters live in this same subdivision, my five grandchildren, my son-in-laws. So we're really big into being a family.
A pillar of my Catholic sports radio ministry is that we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. It's easy, Dick, for those involved in sport to think, I have to be there. Missing the game is not an option. Tell us about mindfulness as it relates to getting a life-changing medical diagnosis and the chance that, in your case, I'm going to miss some basketball games. I'm going to miss some broadcasts.
Never miss mass, though. I cannot tell you, even when I was sick, missing a mass. I mean, it's over 30-some years. In fact, when I was in a hospital, I made sure I had the priest come in and give me communion at the hospital. Very important in my life. You know, I don't try to rub it on anybody. Everybody has their own choices, their own decisions to make. But it was instilled in me as a youngster from my mom and dad and how important it is. And really, to me, it is very important. Like tomorrow, you can count on me. If they have to drag me out, I'll be at mass tomorrow.
But was there any stubbornness on your part once you got the diagnosis that I don't want to miss any work? I want to try to fight through this and make sure that I'm on the microphone doing these broadcasts.
Well, you know, nobody wants to miss work. You want to get that paycheck, man, to pay the bills. You don't live in a house like this and not pay a lot of money. But I've been blessed. I've lived a life that's exceeded any dream I ever had. If I had one dream, I only wish my mother and father were living to see the home we lived in. When I grew up as a kid, we had one bathroom. My parents would go nuts to be able to walk through my house. And this doesn't make you a person of who you are, but what it does, it shows that obviously I had lots of success financially to be able to have something like this. But it's never changed my values. It never changed my beliefs. It never changed my attitude toward people. It's who I am. And the house is just a materialistic thing that was here because I had a lot of little success financially.
Yeah, because it sounds like, and if I have this correctly, I believe you grew up in New Jersey, and it sounds like it might have been a small house, but obviously filled with love.
Loads of love. My family was filled with love. I told you earlier, my parents weren't really educated, but they had a doctorate of love. They just poured love from the minute you got up out of bed. It was always encouragement. It was always something positive. As I said earlier, I lost my eye as a kid, and my parents were on my side, and my mother constantly preaching to me, big deal, you got one eye, so what? You could do anything anybody else does, anybody does. And that she'd always say to me, and it made me feel so good. She would never call me Dick, it was Richie. Richie, let me tell you something. Your energy and your enthusiasm, they can't hold you back, Richie. So one eye or two eyes, doesn't matter. You're going to be a success. And she used to always pound that in my head, positive, positive, positive. It was never, oh, you can't do this, or you're not going to do this. Like you hear, I hear sometimes parents, and it just, my wife stops me from saying anything. When I hear him screaming and yelling, I go to Little League games and see some of my friends' kids play, and they hear a kid come off the field and he's crying because his father, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't struck out. It just drives me nuts when I see that. I never had that. I never had to face that.
Yeah, in fact, this attitude of yours should not be surprising. The fact that you got the cancer diagnosis and did not hang your head and take the woe is me and why me God mindset is consistent with a quote that I read of yours. It actually makes me think of the movie Rocky when his trainer says, you can't win this, and Rocky lashes back, ain't no can't. I'm referring to, Dick, the fact that you said that your parents, quote, taught me in this great country to never, ever believe in can't.
Right, exactly. Never, ever believe in can't. And the other thing that I really took with my parents, they just always instilled in me, And I think it's something that's lacking in our nation today. They used to instill in me all the time, and to my brother and sister as well, the fact of treat people how you want to be treated. Be good to people, and people are going to be good to you. We don't see that. We don't have enough love in this country right now. Too much hate. There's too much hate in our nation. And I think if we all treated each other like we would want to be treated, we would all be such a better, better group of people and more love in the nation.
Your cancer battle is widely known, and certainly everyone knows you because of the presence you have had in the game of basketball for decades. But I don't know if people, you've mentioned this a couple times, I don't know if people are aware that you lost the sight in your left eye and as a result never played basketball, yet you still grabbed an opportunity to get involved with the game rather than, here's that never believe and can't attitude again. You didn't walk away from the sport altogether. That is how and when you got started coaching at an elementary school, I believe.
I started in elementary school and worked my way up from there to high school and got a little bit lucky and blessed in high school. Have some great players and great kids. And we won back-to-back state championships in New Jersey. And that led me to get a job on a collegiate level as an assistant coach at Rutgers University. And then from there, I got the head coaching job and never been to Michigan in my life, but the University of Detroit. And I went there as a head coach and there I had lots of success, and that success led to coaching in the NBA. And you know, one thing leads to another. I tell my grandkids all the time, never ever think about how much you're getting paid or what you're doing financially. Don't even let that enter your mind. If you have success, that's all going to come. And I saw that my life started out, I mean, not making anything when I started out as a guy chasing a dream and then coaching junior high and certainly to make any money in high school and then college and then the pros, and everything started exploding for me. And then got into name recognition, led to so many speaking engagements and people paying you to come to events, to be with them. And it just grows and grows and grows. So I always believe in you take care of what you have to take care of. And if you're successful, all that stuff is going to happen in a positive way and lead to so many other things.
Friends, Dick has practically done it all, as you just heard. Coached at the high school, college, and NBA levels, became a fixture with ESPN, got inducted to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, yet is still an everyday guy. I am going to ask him about clear examples of that in the community, plus, of course, his outlook on the upcoming college basketball season. Alliance Catholic Credit Union provides a financial home for Catholics. They believe that managing your money should be simple, secure, and supportive of your faith. From a highly rated mobile app to low-rate loans, they have all the tools you need. And as a member, you will be part of an organization that proactively supports Catholic education. Join today at AllianceCatholic.com, Alliance Catholic Credit Union, where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. And please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Friends, last week on my interview with Glenn McKay, who has been a TV producer for more than 25 years, working on telecasts of some of the biggest sporting events there are, I said that I treat this almost as though all of you are actually, what would that be, board members, stockholders, I don't know. But the fact is, I said that I charge myself with reporting expenses to all of you and keeping everything transparent. And I need to do a better job, at least as it relates to one specific expense I have been talking about lately. I said that I have been notified that I am welcome to join a by-invitation-only retreat that is happening in Southern California in early December, and that, as uncomfortable as I was with the idea, I have been assured that it would not be inappropriate to record interviews there for the show with some high-profile sports attendees who will be participating. What I did not know was not only the exact dates, which I have just learned are December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, but yikes, the exact cost. I was putting out the word, hoping to have help with raising funds to help me get there, but now I have been told in a recent email that $700 is the fee, which, quote, includes two nights lodging and meals during the retreat, end quote. Of course, then, too, there will be the airfare to fly from Tampa out to the West Coast. Now, by the way, for those of you who are new here, thank you for listening, and I do hope you will listen to other episodes of the show. but you should know that this is a ministry for me. It is a call that I answered from the Lord in late 2018, and like the Mother Mary, I gave my yes to giving back to the church with my time and talent. All that is to say that this is neither my full nor my part-time job. I have not gotten any income from doing this show since I started it 7.5 years ago. I am challenged with having to find a way out of my own pocket to somehow cover all the expenses associated with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, including something like this retreat opportunity out west. It is my hope that you believe in this ministry and enjoy the work that I do and feel that Catholic Sports Radio is helping you in your faith life, such that you would want to show your support by way of including this mix of faith and sports as part of your tithing and help me with bills like those that I mention over various episodes of the show. You can make a financial gift to this ministry via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It allows you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, for the folks who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you have heard me do, when guests or listeners have sent in a contribution, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Dick, for those who might think that it might stand for Vital, the V Foundation was founded in 1993 by your dear friend, the late Jim Valvano, legendary basketball coach, ESPN commentator, and Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer. That was 33 years ago, yet I'm sure you still think about him today. More recently, the basketball world has lost former coaches Lenny Wilkins and Richie Adubato, both of who are guests of mine on this show, by the way. You and I are just meeting for the first time, but I almost get the sense that you have lived towards leaving a legacy that has everything to do with Dick Vitale, the man, the Christian, and the way you have been in service to others, and not, I hope everyone remembers the mark I made on the game of basketball.
Well, you know, you mentioned Richie Adubato. I spoke at his, I was a eulogy for him, and Richie and I were very close friends growing up in New Jersey together, both chasing dreams. We just sit and talk for hours chasing dreams. In fact, we had an agreement if one of us made it in any way, got promoted. Well, when I got into the NBA as a coach, who did I call for my first to be my assistant coach? Richie Adubato. And so I miss Richie. You know, we used to go to Orlando, take trips up there. Richie and Carol, spend time with them, go to dinner with them. And, you know, he passed, maybe a year ago. And it really was heartbreaking to hear. But he was going through such a tough, tough time. It really was a time that God called them up in heaven. And but just a good, good, clean-cut, super guy.
I don't know what's more amazing, the fact that through all your years working in basketball, you somehow managed to author 14 books, or the fact that my information might be incorrect and maybe you've actually done more than that. Are you still inspired to write in 2026? Is writing an extension of being a broadcaster? Is it the fact that you have lived through so many experiences that you have so much material to draw from to write all these books?
Well, you know, to be very honest with you, in many of those cases, I don't do the specific writing. I do it with a writer who interviews me and takes my thoughts and applies them. So it's a little different because talking I can do. I can't sit at a typewriter and bang away. I leave that to the experts. And I've had some great writers that I've worked with. My first book I ever did was with a tremendous writer from Sports Illustrated, Curry Kirkpatrick, and did a number of books with another outstanding New York writer at the time, columnist Dick Weiss. And again, it's all my stuff, but they do the actual writing. I do the communicating.
I think there was actually a children's book that you did not that long ago, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that book has done phenomenal. I can't get over it. It's the ABCs, and till this day, it sells like crazy for us sitting it. And really, it's great for any kid from anyway from 2 to 6 years of age.
There is something that I teased earlier that I want to get to, because as Catholic Christians, we are called to humility, and I see how you are exhibiting that trait regularly. And this is a good teaching moment. Nowadays, we see so many high-profile sports figures that want to have an entourage around them. They don't want to be accessible to the general public. Yet I looked at your Instagram account and I saw picture after picture of people who clearly saw you out somewhere eating breakfast or lunch or dinner. And you, and this is the important part, audience. Dick did not just say, sure, let's take a picture. Dick, you got to know them. You got to know their story. In the Bible, we hear about the man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho who is attacked, stripped, and beaten by robbers, left half dead. And a priest comes down the road, sees the man, and passed by on the other side. Then a Levite does the same, only for a Samaritan to then come along and help him, bandage his wounds, took him to an inn, paid for his care. Dick, I see that with you embracing all these people who have a story. You're not saying to whoever you're sitting with, come on, come on, get up. Let's go. Let's walk away.
Well, you know, basically, it's interesting you said it. Just today I was having lunch, and the one guy there that works there says, man, don't you get tired of people coming over here and talking to you? And doing, are you kidding me? If they didn't, I have a sign there. Like, please talk to me. My name is Dick Vitale. How you doing? I mean, I love people. You know, I love people. I love hearing their stories. I love sharing time with them. You learn so much about a lot of things that you can apply to your own life. And I've never turned down anybody asking for an autograph or coming for a picture. To me, I'm flattered they would do that. Flattered that they would approach me like that. And if they don't approach me, I'd probably put a sign in the back. Please ask me. I'm Dickie V.
But does that go back to the way that your parents raised you, or did you make a conscious decision at some point that, you know, I'm really starting to be noticed at a lot of places that I go? I'm on television over the time. Did you decide, let people approach me? It's okay.
Never thought about it and never even entered my mind. It was how I grew up as a kid. It was just part of my life, to be nice to people. I learned that so early in my life from my parents. You treat people nice, you treat people with respect, they're going to treat you with respect. You know, how many times I take pictures and all with people, and they'll come back to me, someone will come and say, hey, my friend said you were so nice to them. My friend said, you know, and I laugh at it because I just think you're supposed to be that way. I don't think it's special.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising to you, and you wonder, what was I supposed to do? How do you, and obviously it does make you feel good when people come back and say,
absolutely,
my friend met you and he said you were real nice. Like you say, it's kind of, you know, gee, I would hope they'd say that, but it makes you stop and wonder, what experiences are people having with others who are not treating them the way they want to be treated, that there is this element of surprise.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that. I've seen some celebrities who it just really disappoints me the way they'll be when they handle it when somebody approaches them. I just don't understand the logic. Maybe, I don't know, everybody's different. I just love being nice to people.
Okay, let's do this. We cannot go through this whole conversation and not discuss the upcoming 2026 college basketball season. Is there a team that you want to talk about? Is there something that you want to highlight? Is there something that maybe troubles you about the state of the sport in NCAA present day? Give us your outlook, your thoughts.
Well, you know, in college is really a lot of chaos right now. Well, what's going on with the NIL, the monies involved, and all the things happening. There is chaos in the game. However, saying all that, I love the game. I love youngsters competing and really just believe so much in what I'm doing and what I believe in. And I just try to utilize that all the time. So, again, the chaos, you know, transfer, kids transferring like crazy. I don't like that at all, but that's a way of life now.
Do you remember the time in college basketball where you saw and maybe you went, uh-oh, this is starting to become a business. This is no longer college basketball and a pure athletic enjoyment endeavor.
It's always been a business. You got to realize that from the minute you start with the dollars that are paid to go see kids play, to watch the game. Now the kids are sharing in that, which I have no problem in that. They share some of the dollars and the revenue that comes in, but it's a business. Let's face reality. Can't dodge it, can't hide it. It's a way of life.
So even back in the day when you were coaching in college basketball, even then you knew this was a business.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, when I coached, didn't make the money that they're making today, man. Oh my God. I think my first college job, university, well, my first was Rutgers as an assistant coach, and I didn't make me, I'm not sure exactly what it was. It was like 12, $11,000-$12,000 a year, something like that. Then it went up when I went to the University of Detroit to like $17,000 a year. Today, you look at the salaries coaches are making, it's incredible.
We have to close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and the family that the two of you have made.
Well, you know, family's everything to us. Like I said earlier, right now my daughters live, I can get in the car from my house, literally make it to my daughter Terry's house in about 2 minutes and make it to Sherry's house in 3 minutes. And my five grandkids are very blessed. They had, we had 11 degrees in my family from the University of Notre Dame. And I couldn't spell Notre Dame, so I couldn't get in there. But certainly my family was able to do it. My daughters are both what they call double domers. They got their undergrad and their master's degree at the University of Notre Dame. My grandkids, two at Notre Dame, graduated. Sydney, she's now in the workforce in New York, working for Edelman PR. And my grandson, Ryan, is going for his fifth year next year at Notre Dame, get his master's, plays lacrosse. My other grandkids, three of them, all went to Duke. Twins just graduated from Duke. One is going back to Duke for law school, and the other one's in investment banking. And my granddaughter, Ava, the youngest one, she's currently, my daughter's visiting her this week, she's currently starting her junior year at Duke University. So I'm very proud of them. Those are two great schools, Duke and Notre Dame, and they're motivated. They really want to be helpful, successful in what they do in life, and I feel that that's very important. You got to believe in them. They're not doing it because of me. They're doing it because they want to do it.
Spoken like a proud father and grandfather.
Very proud. Very proud grandfather, proud father. Two beautiful daughters that both live here and really helped me big time. Like my one daughter today, I don't drive anymore. Just, you know, I'm 87 years old and I don't have the kind of reflexes I once had. And that's what my family tells me, so they wouldn't let me drive. But but the bottom line is they pick me up every day. Like today, my daughter picked me up at 12 noon, takes me to the restaurant. I have lunch there. I don't know a lot of people there. Comes back and gets me at 2 o'clock, brings me home. The next day, my other daughter. So really having them here has been a blessing. And especially during my illness, going for medical appointments and joining my wife and being all part of that. And I think all of that has really helped me. In fact, I remember my oncologist telling me, he said, Dick, he says, you don't know how lucky you are in a way. I said, really? I do know I'm lucky. I'm blessed. He said, well, I want to share this with you. I see a lot of patients, and it crushes me when I see a woman come in or a man come in their 70s by themselves. I treat them and they leave. They have to call Uber or whatever to take them. Here it is every time I see you. Your kids are with you. Your wife's with you. Your family. And as I know that, I'm very blessed to have that. I agree with you. It's crushing when you see people alone and just don't have anybody there to support them.
And you and Lorraine have been married for how many years now?
55. We just celebrated our 55th year marriage.
Wow.
And she's been a trooper. She really is. She's anybody will tell you, she belongs in the Hall of Fame. in fact, a lot of my buddies, Mike Krzyzewski, coach at Duke, and various coaches, Calipari always says it, John and them. Yeah, Lorraine belongs in sainthood. To live with you for 55 years, man, she belongs in sainthood.
Wow, wow. Beautiful story, beautiful testimony. Dick, wonderful to visit with you. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. You're well prepared, and so therefore it makes it easier for me. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you and your family. And audience, we're going to close with our sportsman's prayer. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. We'll be right back.